Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you into the Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and Sean Carey in just a few. Steve will check in from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Get in contact with us anytime. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. A lot happening on the show today. Scheduled to join us, Roxy Bernstein from ESPN. Had a chance to call quite a few of the Washington games. Can give us a very good read on the Huskies as we count down to the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State and Washington here on WKOK. Saturday, December the 30th, be a 2:30 airtime and 4 o'clock kick with Steve, Jack Ham, Derek Williams, and Roger Corey. So Roxy's scheduled to join us today. Also, we have penned in at 4:35, Rich Hammond. Rich is the Los Angeles Rams beat writer for the Orange County Register and the Los Angeles Daily News. The big matchups in the NFL this weekend is the Rams and Philadelphia Eagles, which you'll be able to hear on Eagle 107 at 107.3 Sunday, a 4:05 kick with Merrill Reese. So we'll get Rich's take and the Rams' perspective, and also the latest information on the wildfires that's been going on in and around Los Angeles. See if that has had a dramatic effect on the Rams' preparation going up against Philadelphia this weekend. Also looking ahead to tomorrow's show, scheduled to join us, the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, Jim Delaney. And like we always do, every Friday afternoon at 4:35, Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, will check in from Connecticut, and we will knock out our weekly football picks. Pittsburgh Steelers just released some new information in the past hour. It was actually at about 2:20, give or take a minute, yesterday afternoon when Ryan Shazier was taken back to Pittsburgh to a UPMC medical facility. The Steelers just released a statement about 1 hour ago that last night Pittsburgh team physician, UPMC neurosurgeons, and Pittsburgh Steelers team physicians Drs. David Onkonkwo and Joseph Maroon performed a spinal stabilization surgery on Ryan Shazier to address his spinal injury. That's all. Wow. That was all that was in the statement. No other specifics were mentioned. One thing is for sure, brevity has been the word of the week, describing the Steelers and the information that they have been releasing in regards to Ryan Shazier. They're keeping it very, very close under the close to the vest.
But remember, because of HIPAA laws, maybe Ryan wants
absolutely,
to
absolutely. I've met. Yeah, there's been people that have been texting me. It's like, well, they're not releasing any information, so that means the information is not good. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's a chance that they just want to keep it very, very private, which is, you know, you have to completely understand and respect that. So, but in this information age that we live in, you want the information yesterday. So, but hey, it is what it is. So, of course, if we get any more information, we'll let you know.
All right. Couple notes. Saquon Barkley won the Big Ten Silver Football Award as a player of the year. He's only the fifth player in the history of the Big Ten to win it back-to-back years. So he's got that. Now he goes for the Maxwell, Doak Walker, and Walter Camp. Now I think it's Walker and Maxwell are both tonight, and he's in Atlanta already. So needless to say, the bowl practice they have today, he won't be there. Everybody else will be, but he won't be. Mark Andrews of Oklahoma won the Mackey Award. Mike Kosicki was a finalist for that. So, just so, trying to keep up to date on all the awards everybody's up for at this particular time. And that's, again, one of them. But the Mackey Award does go to Andrews of Oklahoma. And Mike was a finalist for that. But the Silver Football Award does go to Saquon Barkley for the second consecutive year from the Chicago Tribune. So, congrats to him. And that's great. He deserves it. He deserves any award he gets. And any award he gets is great for Saquon Barkley, and any award he gets is also great for Penn State and for Penn State football. Now, it tells you a lot about Penn State. It tells you a lot about the ability of the coaching staff to develop players. There's a lot of things that go into somebody getting an award. Today, by the way, we're going to have Roxy Bergstein on the show from the Pac-12 Networks. Looking forward to that because he'll give us, he's done enough Washington games this year. He'll give us a pretty good rundown, in my opinion, of Washington. And we'll go through it, player by player and so forth. So Roxy will be on the show today. Jim Delaney scheduled for tomorrow. Picks tomorrow. And we'll see how that goes. And then next week is the Big Bowl extravaganza. I mean, there's not many shows in the country that will pick the Boca Raton Bowl, but we're gutsy and we will.
We will.
The Frisco Bowl. Love the Frisco Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Can't live without it.
Well, evidently Miami could, because that used to be the Miami Beach Bowl.
I alerted the defending champion to block out next Friday, 4 to 5, to join us.
And what was the response?
Pretty much a no-brainer, believe it or not.
Oh, so he's not sure?
He was more concerned giving me breaking news. And I said, is it about Ryan Shazier? And he said, no, he learned to... I guess it's a current IndyCar driver and a former Indianapolis 500 champion. They're going to be on the next season of CBS's The Amazing Race with Phil Kogan. And I said, whenever you get something on Shazier, let me know.
What was that again?
The reality TV show The Amazing Race on CBS, hosted by Phil Kogan. I believe a former IndyCar driver who's retired and a former Indianapolis 500 champion are going to be taking part in the next season of The Amazing Race. And they were spotted doing something in Central Park as a tandem, I guess, not too long ago. So he had to share with me that information, that he'll be watching that show once it premieres after the holidays. And I told him that I would not. And that's nothing against Phil Kogan. He's a great TV personality. Emmy Award-winning show, too. Actually, I had two people from here in the Central Susquehanna Valley took part in the show. I want to say close to 10 years ago, something like that. I actually had a viewing party for them at a establishment in Sunbury. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, they didn't win the whole race. They weren't the champions at the end of the season, but it was fun watching it with them. It was cool. But in terms of these IndyCar drivers, nah, I'll pass. I'll watch something else. I'll stick with hoops. But that was his breaking news. You're shaking your head, aren't you? This doesn't surprise you at all, does it?
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK, the daily item BB&T and the Milton and Sunbury Salvation Army have again teamed up to brighten the holidays for less fortunate families in our area with the Needy Family Fund. Visit WKOK.com to find out more about the families that are being helped this year and to see how you can help us brighten the holidays. You can even contribute in person at any branch of BB&T. Thank you and happy holidays from News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Great to have you with us on the show today as we roll on. Again, Saquon Barkley winning the Chicago Tribune Silver Football Award as the Big Ten Player of the Year. He is only the fifth player in the history of the Big Ten to win it in back-to-back years. The last was Braxton Miller. Paul Giel did it in the 50s. Archie Griffin did it. Anthony Thompson did it. Griffin did it in the 70s. Archie Griffin did it in the 70s. Thompson did it in the 80s, and then Braxton Miller in, I want to say 12 and 13, Braxton Miller did it. So Saquon Barkley does that. He is already in Atlanta. Needless to say, he won't be at practice tonight. So don't be shocked. He's already in Atlanta for the award show. I think there were 9 votes, and he got, there were 12 votes. He got 9 first place votes when it comes to the silver football. So 9 out of the 12. He got 75% of them.
Yeah, when the awards are on ESPN tonight, we may find, we'll have to look for a pre-recorded feature that Saquon may have done with field reporter Maria Taylor. The terrific Chris Peterson, Penn State football, contacted, tweeted out a photo. Looked like they were getting ready to hop on a Ferris wheel or something like that down in Atlanta, something like that. So that might be a little neat little one-on-one segment to learn more about Saquon as they get ready for the Fiesta Bowl. So, something to look forward to tonight, maybe.
Maria Taylor actually came into Penn State, I want to say the week of the Michigan game, and she was putting together a feature on Saquon. Because she was not the sideline reporter that night. But she came in that week because I remember seeing her there. I talked to her briefly. And I mean, very brief. It was more extensive than hi, but less extensive than paragraphs. But that's what she was there, I think, to do something about him. So this is a follow-up.
Maybe it's a more comprehensive feature we'll find leading up to the Fiesta Bowl then. Maybe we won't find it tonight. We'll wait and see.
Well, no, maybe it does. Maybe it is tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Yeah, but yeah, she's done a great job here the past year or so. She was a full tilt on SEC Network last year, and then when Sam Ponder moved up to NFL coverage, Maria took her spot on the Saturday night primetime games, and of course she's done a terrific job, too, covering women's sports, too.
Mm-hmm. So, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. The coaches vote, by the way, and what happened was is that there 13 Big Ten coaches voted for Barkley. He had 9 first-place votes, 3 second-place votes. Coaches are not allowed. If you're wondering about James Franklin, he is not allowed to vote for his own player. So JT Barrett got 3 first-place votes, 5 seconds. So good. Good for Saquon Barkley. But again, it's also great for Penn State. Remember, this is also comes down to it's not just an individual award. It's great for the program too. You're talking about a guy that was a really good recruit when they got him, and he developed into a great player. Well, he developed into a great player in large part because of him, Saquon Barkley, but also in part because of the coaching he received here too. And the program, of course, got better and better and better as time went. And as the program got better and better as time went, it also put a focus on him being a really, really good player. So the entire nation got a chance to see him. And I realize that most of you do not get a chance to talk or interact with the players. Now, I completely understand that. Obviously, I do. And he is what you see. It's really, what's really interesting about him is how supportive he is of other running backs. I mean, first of all, very supportive of Trace McSorley. That's one of the things that makes this whole thing work, is McSorley doesn't care what stats he gets, and Barkley doesn't care what stats he gets. And if McSorley does something big, the first guy to go over, and whether it's practice or a game, it's Barkley. Same thing with McSorley when it comes to Barkley. They know they feed off of each other. But you should see Barkley when they do the scrimmages on Sunday night. Now, they've done a couple this week as well with the threes and the fours. But Barkley is not standing on the sideline watching. Barkley will watch from the center of the field from behind the play. And if Journey Brown does anything, oh, Barkley goes, I mean, he'll be jumping up and down. He'll be yelling at the defense. You can't stop him, the whole deal. He says, this is about the RBs. If Nick Urie does anything, oh, Barkley's over there and he's slapping him on the helmet. I mean, this is the way he is. This is the way he is. This is not the guy that's the star, like, okay, I don't need to watch this. I don't need to be a part of this. And then, of course, when there's free time and they've got music on, you know, and when I mean free time, you're not involved in this set, so the twos or the threes are out there taking the reps. Usually it's the twos. Barkley will be behind, and the music will be on because you're trying to just put noise out there. So they use music instead of crowd noise. And Barkley, he'll dance to the music all the time. Now, at Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving Day, they played a lot of Thanksgiving music. And I walked by Saquon and I said, obviously not off of your iPod. He goes, this stuff's bad, Steve, it's bad. I said, so you'll find something to dance to. And he did. Later in the practice, he did. He found something to kind of move.
I know, when you think of Thanksgiving music, for some reason, Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant comes to mind. Yeah, it's not really the dance jam.
Oh, no offense. I mean, I said to Saquon, I said, this is brutal. I said, even for somebody old like me, and of course, every time I call myself old, he laughs, right? So... Oh, goodness gracious. All right, we're going to talk a little hockey next half hour. Brian Tripp, they've got Bobby Moe this weekend. Robert Morris, including the Teddy Bear game. And then Roxy Bergstein will come up in the 4 o'clock half hour. And then we'll talk to a beat writer for the Rams as the Eagles get ready to take on the L.A. Rams. So a lot going on in today's show. Jim Delaney tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today. It really is our privilege that you include us in your day. Thank you so much for that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Somebody tells me Movie Mike's going to give Coco a pretty good review. What do you think?
I know Mike is always checking flicks left and right, watching movies on the weekend during downtime, and he's putting the finishing touches on his best and worst of 2017.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That should be really good.
Yep. He tweeted something out about a night or two ago that he was still struggling as to which movie would be number one on the best list.
Uh-huh.
And he's got it figured out. So,
all right, good.
Yeah, normally good. He has that pretty much, you know, stone cold lead pipe lock and knows what number one is. But he did preface that there's just been so many great movies he's had a chance to see this year. So that's rare. I can't remember the last time that's happened.
That's great. I'm looking forward to that very much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing about Movie Mike is he goes out and he watches a lot of movies on his own time, as opposed to maybe somebody in digital media that goes out during the middle of the day. Come on.
Yeah, Mike's got a theater in his basement. It's really cool.
Does he really?
He does. He has a little makeshift theater with actual theater seats.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Movie
that's
Mike.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
That's pretty cool.
It was a true, you know, it's kind of like the equivalent of, you know, like the man cave. Instead, he's got his own.
It's his
definition of his man cave.
Well, my friend Gary Goloshevsky has like the man cave where, like, I don't know how big the screen is, but he's got this projection screen.
Yep.
Which is takes up almost the entire wall. And, you know, we were over there one night. I think it was when Nebraska played Ohio State. We watched 8 minutes of that game because it ended that fast.
Mike should be at the holiday party next week, so I would think he's got to have photos of his in-house theater on his phone. So I'll show him to you. It's really sweet. It's really cool.
No, I want to see that. That's great. This day in sports history, 1925, swimmer Johnny Weissmuller set a world record in the 150-yard freestyle, time of 1:25 2/5 seconds. Of course, he went on to play Tarzan in several movies. 1939, Lou Gehrig was elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame. He was the first player to have the rule waived that required a player to be retired 1 year before he could be elected. Now, of course, it's 5 years. 1963, CBS introduced the first ever instant replay during the Army-Navy game. And they had to put up isolated replay to show it, so that people didn't think they were watching the same play twice. 1978, Mike Bossy of the New York Islanders, his first career hat trick, first of many. 1986, Huey Lewis in the news saying the national anthem a cappella before a Niners-Jets NFL game at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. And in 1988, the Texas Rangers signed free agent pitcher Nolan Ryan to a one-year contract. You've got plenty going on this weekend around here, including Penn State basketball Saturday. They've got George Washington coming up at 4 o'clock on Saturday, but also coming up is, and you've got volleyball. Now, something's interesting about volleyball. The NCAA tournament is tomorrow. Okay, the round is 16 tomorrow at Rec Hall, but it's at 2 in the afternoon. So when we're doing the show tomorrow, we'll have a final on it. And they're playing at 2. The reason is television. I know you're shocked by that revelation. And then if they win, they'll play at 8 o'clock Saturday night. And then there's going to be hockey. They're at Robert Morris, a.k.a. Bobby Moe. That'll be at PPG Paints Arena on Friday, and then back home Saturday. Both times they drop the puck at 7. This will be the final two games of the semester, and the play-by-play voice for Penn State men's ice hockey is Brian Tripp. Brian, welcome back. It's great to hear you.
Steve, great to be with you, and I always thought you were the king of the jungle.
Let's get to level of play here. What kind of level of play have you seen from the hockey team in the last couple of weeks? Because this will be the last weekend they play in this semester.
Yeah, I think they've come together and found their identity. They're starting to win more battles. They're winning face-offs. They're getting the loose pucks. They just look like the team that I think everyone expected them to be. Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries, illness that hasn't helped early in the season. I think guys are starting to understand their roles and understanding what it takes to be successful night in and night out at the college level. Talked this week with Guy Gadowski on the coach's show, and he talked a lot about mindset, Steve, not so much skill and executing on the power play. Yeah, they've had things to clean up offensively. They've needed to get more shots on goal. They needed to get the third forward back defensively more. Goaltending got off to a bit of a slow start, but now in this six-game unbeaten streak, and really over the last probably 4 weeks, they include that series at Notre Dame in there, they're playing really good hockey. They're playing hard, and I think the results are following for that reason.
What about the teddy bear toss coming up on Saturday? Because that's going to benefit Thon.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's a great tradition in all of hockey. I think the Hershey Bears did it the other night and had 25,000 teddy bears.
Wow.
They've done it every year here at Penn State. It's cool. And the teddy bears go to the Thon kids, which makes it even more special because you have that at-home connection with it. So Saturday night, if you're coming out between the second and third period, so the second intermission, they'll do the teddy bear toss. In college hockey, the cool thing is, in a lot of these AHL or ECHL buildings where they do it, there's no rules about when you can do it, so they'll do it after the first goal. So whenever the first goal is scored, you can throw the teddy bears down. The NCAA doesn't allow you to do it after the first goal because they don't want the unnecessary stoppage.
I'm shocked.
Between the second and third,
it's only helping out six children, but it's only helping out six children, so it's okay.
as long as it doesn't stop the game, right?
Right. Well, we have to clean bears off the ice. Gee, it's for sick children, you know, right? Okay, just want to make sure everybody understands her.
So that'll be fun. It'll be cool.
I always like when they do that. It's a great thing to do, and it's I love the fact that they do it. 19% of the power play. That's very un-Penn State-like. So what are they trying to straighten out on the power play?
Well, Steve, you know this. They've always used three power play units, and when Dennis Smirnoff was out for eight games sick, they could only use two. So they weren't using Alex Limoges and Nikita Pavlichev on the power play, and that was one of their best units in the early going. And then Evan Barrett missed time early in the year. He started to skate with Andrew Sturk and Chase Berger on the power play. They caught fire. And it hasn't helped that Kevin Kerr had been out and now will be out again, and Eric Audio out of the lineup. Those are two of your best puck-moving defensemen. So they're obviously crucial on the power play as well. So I think it's more a matter of just not getting the reps that they need with the guys they need out there. I think that's kind of what's thrown it off. They haven't been consistent as consistent as they'd like to be on the power play. I think it will come with time. They certainly have the skill to do it. They've gotten a few big power play goals the last few weeks. Dennis Smirnoff back will make a big difference.
Yeah, no, that makes a huge difference because it gives you a go-to guy that doesn't mean he has to score it, Brian. It means that he draws enough tension that it might open the door for somebody else to score.
Yeah, no question about it. The power play he skates on with Nikita Pavlichev and Alex Limoges, everything goes through Dennis. I know a lot of fans probably remember when Casey Bailey was at Penn State, everything went through Casey Bailey. Just skates up and down, the left wing, back to the blue line, in tight. The same thing with Dennis. He runs the whole show.
Yeah, and he does. So Penn State has been able to, score with the extra attacker in the final minute of a game to tie a contest in back-to-back games. It's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah, it's dramatic. They certainly have
dramatic. Yeah, no,
don't want to be in that spot, but it shows that you're resilient, great character to win battles, again, get pucks to the net and find a way. And you're looking now in the Big Ten standings, Michigan State, instead of Michigan State getting all 3 points in the game, they get two and you get one. And in terms of overall record, instead of a loss, that goes in as a tie for NCAA and pairwise and RPI. That's huge. Then you have a chance to get no points at Ohio State on Friday night, and you get 2 points. I mean, you're looking at a five-point swing. You're looking at a potential five-point swing with Michigan State, too, if they won that shootout for conference standings. It's just huge. It's huge for the conference, especially being that this tournament is going to be played on home ice this year, where the higher seeds get to host.
Right.
And when you look at the NCAA tournament, that's then a tie against a pretty resurgent Michigan State team, then a road tie against what was number 11 Ohio State. So that's a lot better than losing a game. So it does have a lot of significance. It certainly shows their resilience, their character, finding a way to get it done at the end. I think it gives them confidence that no matter what the score is, no matter how much time's left, they'll be confident they can find a way to come back, tie, or win a game. But if you're looking big picture, too, getting the points and avoiding a loss in your overall record is pretty big.
Right now, Penn State has the third longest unbeaten streak in the country at this point at 4-0-2 over their last six. Also during that streak, Brian, 19-20 on the penalty kill, and 95%. Mm-hmm. What's allowed them to button that down during this six-game stretch?
Well, they're blocking a lot of shots. The defensemen, Chris Mullary, Cole Holtz, Trevor Hamilton, deserve a lot of credit for that. They've gotten better goaltending from both Chris Funke and Peyton Jones. Peyton Jones, over the last five games, his goals against average is under two. His save percentage is somewhere around 950. And that's just ridiculous, especially the way he started the year. You know, he was struggling, wasn't the same guy he was. So obviously your goalies have to be great penalty killers. And I think they just really have a great group of forwards they can rotate in, whether it's Nikita Pavlichev and James Robinson, Andrew Sturtz and Chase Berger. And Sturtz leads the country with 3 shorthanded goals. And then also Nate Soucis and Brandon Biro. Those are 3 really good penalty kill units that you can put out there. And I think they're comfortable rotating guys. You're not forced to juggle your lines then, because you're keeping line mates together for the most part going out there on the kill. That's really important. Then when you come off the kill, you're not worried about skating guys who you're unfamiliar with together. And it just helps game management. So I really like the way the penalty kill has played. Obviously, the goalie's a big part of it, but I think it's a team thing. It's not just one guy.
Brandon Biro, you mentioned him in that answer, Brian. Over the 6-game unbeaten streak, he's been able to put together 3 goals and 6 assists. I mean, 9 points in that stretch. What has allowed him to start to come on?
Yeah, I think you look at him last year, and he's one of the 10 youngest players in college hockey, kind of this baby-faced 18-year-old. But he was really a gifted player. The thing that's special about him, and the points are great, and you talk with the coaches, and you can just notice it, even if you're a fan. Man, every time you look up, it seems like the guy has the puck, whether it's going into the corner, whether it's behind the net on the forecheck. He finds a way to come up with the puck. He's not the biggest. He's probably not the strongest. He might not be the fastest guy either, but the guy just gets to the puck and finds a way to make plays. So that's what's most impressive with him. And I think when Dennis Smirnoff was out of the lineup, if there's one player you had to potentially anoint your MVP during that stretch, it was Brandon Biro for everything he's done. And he's just as important to his line with Smirnoff and Soucis right now as anyone else. He's a really, really talented player.
How important is it for them? It's important every time out, but to go into the break where you know you're going to get a break by getting a couple of wins.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep the momentum rolling. Robert Morris, Penn State's biggest, concern going into these 2 games is how do you match the energy and attitude that Robert Morris is going to bring? This is an in-state team that certainly wants to be mentioned among the college hockey powers. They've won 20 or more games in 4 of the last 5 seasons. Derek Schooley's done a terrific job with their program. And to be frank, this is their Super Bowl for Robert Morris. This game circled at the beginning of the year, whenever they're going to play. They want to beat Penn State. They want to knock them off. So I think it's important to match the energy that they're going to bring to the ice. And you have something going right here. You've won 6 in a row. You feel like, yeah, you may have lost a game or 2 you'd like back early in the season. But because of the way you're playing right now, that's a distant memory. So as long as you can get through these 2, come away with a couple more wins, you feel really good going into the break. And then who knows over the break? Maybe you get, and I'm not sure what his status is for this weekend, but Eric Audio, maybe you get him healthy. You can get Kevin Kerr hopefully back at some point. Rest some of the other guys who have been out with bumps and bruises, or guys that have been ill. They can finally get their stamina and back to 100%. I think the break will come at a good time. Even if they go into the break on an 8-game unbeaten streak, you might say, oh, it's coming at a bad time because they're hot. I think for this team, just regroup, recollect, and really going strong to what's going to be a very challenging second half of the year. I like when the break will come, but it is important to take care of business here this weekend.
7 o'clock tomorrow night, PPG Paints Arena, and then 7 o'clock at Pagoula Ice Arena on Saturday. Brian, always a pleasure. Great to hear you, my friend.
Steve, great to see you the other night at the basketball game. Keep up the great work.
It's great to see you, and you always do great work. Thanks, bud.
Yep, see you soon, Steve.
Brian Tripp, the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Penn State men's ice hockey team. Next half hour, Roxy Bergstein from the Pac-12 Networks will talk about Washington. He did several Husky games this year. And then we'll have a beat reporter from the Orange County Register and the LA Daily News about the Rams-Eagles matchup. It's all coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Penn's Tavern is where you want to celebrate this holiday season. Whatever feel you're looking for, Penn's Tavern along the Susquehanna River can accommodate your needs. Mountain stone walls and wood floors can be found in the original dining area, giving you that old world charm. Continue back to the newly renovated River Room with 12 PA microbrews on tap. Grab a burger and sit back and relax in this cozy pub area. Penn's Tavern has the best gift certificate offer for the holidays. Buy 5 gift certificates of the same denomination and receive a 6th one free. Penn's Tavern, a piece of heaven on Route 147, 5 miles south of Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Roxy Bergstein, Pac-12 Networks, in the next half hour. Don't forget the volleyball matchup tomorrow is at 2 in the afternoon. They're facing Missouri tomorrow, but it's 2 in the afternoon. That's because of TV. Hey, you want coverage, so, I mean, that's how it plays out. If you want coverage, that's what has to happen. And so that'll be tomorrow. And if they win, then they play Saturday at 8 o'clock. And both matchups in Rec Hall. And should they win tomorrow in the 2 o'clock start with Missouri, they would then be playing for the right to go to the Final Four on Saturday night. They are the number one overall seed entering. So that's what we have. And, of course, basketball coming up Saturday, as Penn State will be in action taking on George Washington at 4 o'clock. And the football banquet is Sunday at 4. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to MC that. And what?
Nothing.
You thought about it.
No. You'll crush it. No worries.
Whatever. I just got to make a move and get out of there. Right?
It's your first banquet. They're going to be your last. And I'm not downplaying. And I'm not downplaying it when I say that. But it'll be. All of them are special.
But at the same time, you do want to make it. You want to make it special, but you want it to move too. And the reason you want it to move is you have to think of yourself sitting there yourself, like, okay, let's go on this thing. And while people eat, I hand out awards. And we don't have people coming up anymore, and you introduce them, and then they do a long intro as to what the award is. We don't do that anymore. I hand out the awards. Here, take this thing. See you. No. Good one. Great. But they have a lot of awards, too. I don't know. I think there's 24 of them or something. So I try to do them before people get to the main meal, and then near the end of the main meal, then I start to do the other set of awards.
Excellent job. Hey, see you at practice next week. Take care.
Yeah. All right. See you in Glendale. Take good care.
Right.
All right. That's what we do. But you do want to make a move, and the reason you want to make a move is that you're not trying to hurry everybody out of there. But at the same time, you're trying to do it in a way and in a pace that people enjoy. I mean, that's the part. You want to do it at a pace that people enjoy. So one thing you do not do is you do not get up there and like, hey, I'm emceeing this, so I'm going to tell a series of jokes. No, I start. Because people did not one person. You want to know how many people showed up at the event to watch you emcee it? None. There wasn't a single person that showed up saying, I only came here because I want to see him emcee the banquet. No, they came there to see the awards, salute the people that deserve it. There'll be some of the players, not all, but some of the players, especially at the end, will make a little brief speech here and there. And that's what they showed up for, to see who won the awards, to salute the team, congratulate them on a great year. Nobody shows up to watch you emcee. Your job is to seamlessly make it move and not have one second be about yourself. That's what you do. And that's what I'll attempt to do again. Of course, we now know, for example, that there is at minimum a Horning winner and a Silver Football Award winner in the house. And justifiably so. Justifiably so. Special player. One of the best I've ever seen. I mean, one of the best I've ever seen.
I keep thinking back to September, to the Georgia State game. He said, I want to be the kick returner. And without hesitation, he wanted to be the best kick returner he can be, because he knew if that was another way where he can help the team become a successful team, in no uncertain terms, he would do it.
Well, he did. He's special. He really is. I've really liked being around him for the last 3 years. I mean, there's some people you're like, you're around him like, okay, all right, you can turn it off now. Not him. You're around him. Can't help but like him. Love his attitude. He's been perfect for the program. Roxy Bergstein, Pac-12 Networks, in the next half hour. We'll get a rundown from him about Washington.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.